Good evening, church. Pastor, I'm also very excited about this weekend. We will not be here. We'll be out of town, but I've been believing God is going to maybe start something new for our church here, kind of point us in a new direction. So I don't know if we'll see a great outcome Saturday right away, but I believe because of that, God is going to do something. This isn't my notes, but I was thinking during worship, as you were talking about stretching us, you know, we need to stretch a little more. And I think this is my second time I've been behind here with a message. And it's still a big stretch for me. The first time I was behind here, sounds kind of cheesy, but my electric razor died right as I'm getting ready for church. Today I'm at work. I have a brand new work van with 4,000 miles. It decided to quit running. It had to get towed off the job. And during worship, I was thinking, or God was telling me, it's like every time you stretch yourself, part of your old self just dies a little more. So yes, with that, let's turn to our opening scripture tonight in Ecclesiastes 3 and 13. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. And then Psalms 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You may be seated. I don't believe I'm speaking to any problems here tonight, just to clarify. But I believe, you know, with Saturday, God has a new direction for us, and he's just trying to get our attention just a little bit more here tonight. So the title of my message tonight is, What's on Your Plate? And then one more scripture. It's in the New International Version I'll be reading from. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 12, it says, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I will not be mastered by anything. It is God's will that we would work hard and enjoy the fruits of our hard labor, that we would eat and drink and enjoy these things. But do you ever feel like you're not in charge? Do you ever feel like the food you eat on a daily basis sometimes is calling the shots? That certain foods within our reach may have the mastery over us. And no matter how hard we try to pick up those snacks we know are not the healthiest for us, they always seem to win the battle, every time. It's not an easy fight. On average, our local grocery store has 39,500 items to choose from every time we walk in. And I assure you that not all those choices are healthy. The average shopper spends 25% of their money at the store on the inner aisles, which just happens to be where most of the processed foods are at. Now my family, as well as my brother's family, and our other brother's family, and my parents, we've built a lot of houses over the years. And because of that, I've realized that I can't do with one particular room. My favorite room in our house has to be the walk-in pantry. So now we bought a fixer-upper. Didn't have a walk-in pantry, but now it does. You could sleep in there if you wanted to. It's that big. And I find myself in there quite a bit, more often than a guy really should. It seems like every time I walk by, which might be every few minutes, I have to open the barn doors, peek in, and see what might catch my attention. And it always seems like the not-so-good choices are the ones that catch my eyes. And some of my personal favorites... My personal favorite not-so-healthy snacks include barbecue chips, but you have to dip them in extra barbecue sauce. We've been buying these Mexican wedding cookies, and every night after dinner, they get the best of me. But it's really not a fair fight, because all I have to do is turn my chair around, reach into the pantry, and there they are. And one of my other favorites is butter. And if there's anything that you can apply butter to, It's for me. But the problem is that I like butter more like most people like frosting on a cake. A nice thick layer. So last time I checked, this probably wasn't very good for my cholesterol. But you know, it sure tastes good now. Even though there might be a price to pay for it later. There's even a continual game of hide and seek with some of our food in our house. The game is this. My wife will buy her favorite chocolate bar or caramel-filled chocolates, and she knows if they're in the pantry, they're not going to survive very long. So what does she do? She'll hide them on me. Just rotten, isn't it? And then whenever I get a craving for chocolate, because I know there's some in the house somewhere, and the next time she goes to look for it and she realizes there's little to none left, maybe just an empty wrapper, some crumbs at the bottom of the drawer, all of a sudden I'm put on the naughty list. She goes to buy more chocolate and the cycle just seems to repeat itself over and over. In this country, we have so many choices when it comes to our food. And I would say that a good portion of them have little to no benefit to our health. In fact, many of them may actually do our body harm. And somehow in this country, we have replaced wholesome, whole-cooked meals for quick and easy, not so wholesome. And I'm not speaking against fast food here tonight, so don't get me wrong. You know, and I find it amazing that other countries have banned certain foods that somehow are still sold in America. Somehow they declare them unhealthy for others, but for us Americans, they are perfectly safe to eat. And I'm sorry in advance for anybody who has a deep love for McDonald's French fries here tonight. But did you know that in Europe, McDonald's uses 3 ingredients for their fries? And in America, they use 18 ingredients. What a big difference. In Europe, they use potatoes, salt, and oil. Things you might expect, right? What else is needed for good fries? Apparently, we need 15 more ingredients here in America. In 1881, there was a physician born named Max Gerson, who developed what is called Gerson therapy. It was a dietary-based alternative to heal cancers and some degenerative diseases. I did some research on this some years ago and found it quite amazing how a lot of cancers and degenerative diseases could be healed by simply changing one's diet. To sum it up, this man, he would prescribe an individual, based on what ailed them, a certain diet of strictly fruits and vegetables. Now, this man tried to start a health facility in America, but the big pharmacies wanted no part of this. And if this got out that what God had made could heal all these illnesses, the big pharmacies, they might not do so well. So we started a facility in Mexico, which is still up and running to this day. So why all the talk about food when in 1 Timothy 4 verse 8, it says that bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So God not only wants to bless us with eternal life, but also in this life here. And like the aisles at the grocery store, or the more than necessary items that at least we have in our walk-in pantry at home, we are left making a lot of tough choices each and every day. At the end of every day, we are ultimately responsible for what we put on our plates. It seems like the more preparation and planning that goes into a meal, the healthier it is. It takes a little more time, and it might even cost a little more to eat healthy. But it comes with many benefits. I know I'm not alone, but the older I get, my body somehow alerts me more, quicker when I don't make the greatest choices in my diet. It's been a slow process, but I'm getting better at making the right choices, and in return, I'm starting to feel better because of it. And there are still plenty of times when I splurge at a birthday party, and I have 2 servings of cake and ice cream, and for the rest of the day, I regret my decision, and my body's telling me, "What have you done?" And just like all the choices we make every day in our meals, we also make many more choices about what we consume whether it be through our eyes or through our ears. And I would say that these choices are much more important. I would say that unlike bodily exercise and diet that might profit us just a little bit, the things we consume through our ears and our eyes can profit us a lot. Or on the other hand, they can also harm us. Let's turn to Matthew 6 and verse 19. Matthew 6 and 19. It says, "Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. He cannot serve God and mammon." So we see here that the light of the body is the eye. If we are struggling to lay up treasures in heaven, maybe it's just simply because of what we're allowing through our eyes. But if, on the other hand, we're allowing our eyes to consume a steady diet of the Word of God, then all of a sudden it becomes easy to lay up treasures in heaven and not be so concerned about this world and all of the distractions around us. What we feed ourselves morning, noon, and night has a great impact on our walk with God, on our overall spiritual health. If we're not getting the right nutrition, then we leave ourselves more susceptible to sickness and disease. But with the right diet, we build up our immune system to fight off the attacks from the enemy and to fight off this flesh. Just like all the wrong things we can put on our plates, cake, ice cream, cookies, the list goes on. And these things, they seem to pull for our attention more than the healthy choices do. But I found that although the healthy choices may not seem very appealing at first, once consumed on a regular basis, now all of a sudden the unhealthy choices, they don't look so appealing anymore and don't taste very good anymore. So what are we putting on our plates? What are we allowing into these temples of God? It's true, we are what we eat. What we eat has a great effect on the physical body. Natural, nutritional foods leave us feeling strong, full of energy. They give us a clear mind. While processed, more of the man-made variety will leave us feeling out of energy, leave us with a cloudy mind, maybe achy joints. And what we allow in through our eyes and ears has an even greater impact on our overall health. So if you feel a little tired or a little sick tonight, maybe it's as easy as changing our diet or the things we snack on. Proverbs 4, verse 20 through 22 says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine ears. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." So if we attend our eyes to the word of God, and our ears unto his sayings, it will be health to all of our flesh. Now, a while back, maybe a year ago, I was struggling myself with having these judgmental thoughts. I was having these thoughts towards others, and they just kept coming more and more. And this was going on for a couple weeks, and I could not figure out why I was having these thoughts. Where did these thoughts come from? I could not pinpoint it. No sense to me. Until Pastor Portman preached the message entitled, "Reading the Labels." After hearing this message, I realized that the talk radio program I had been listening to for years, every day as I would take a lunch, was starting to have an impact on me. Although I agreed with most of their opinions, and though we shared most of the same moral values, I didn't realize that every day for a half hour at lunch, listening to these folks criticize those who did not agree with their opinions or line up with their beliefs was starting to transfer to me. So thank God for the preaching of God that he would allow me to recognize this in my life. And it was simply as simple as turning off the dial. And then all of a sudden these thoughts, they just began to vanish away. And the funny thing is most of the time I would have the radio on so quiet that I could barely make out what they were saying. It was just kind of background noise. But yet it was having an impact on me. So at first glance, it seemed okay. There seemed to be no harm in it. But after I consumed this more and more, for years, it was starting to have some negative side effects. So what we consume every day may seem okay at first, but we need to read through the ingredient list and see if it might be detrimental to our health in the long run. It might taste really good now, but after consuming it for years and years, could it have some negative side effects that we may not even be aware of? Here's a list of items that we may want to include in our daily diet. These items include feasting on the Word of God. It's good for us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, as it says in Matthew 5 or 6, because then we will be filled. Other staples in our daily diet, they must include worship and prayer. And we also serve up great home-cooked meals here 3 times a week. And these meals are loaded with all sorts of vitamins and minerals. They're even loaded with preservatives. And I know that's a bad word in our diets, but these meals have lots of preservatives, and they can keep us alive and keep us from going bad. To prove it, we have a website that is still serving meals that were prepared 10 years ago, and they still provide nourishment to this day. So just like this German man, Max Gerson, who realized that what God had made could cure some physical diseases, our leaders serve up meals prepared by God that will fight off all spiritual disease when consumed. And like those sugar-coated snacks, they're always trying to get our attention. The enemy of our soul is always trying to steal our attention. He wants to take our attention off of God and direct our focus on anything else he can. He does it the same way. He coats it in sugar. It looks good to the eyes. Just take one bite and see how good it can be, he says. He's been doing this all the way back since the Garden of Eden. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. So we have to be very careful that what we are viewing or listening to is, in fact, good for us. Just because it seems to be okay for the rest of the world to consume doesn't make it right for a child of God to consume. Ephesians 4 and 22, if we want to turn there. Ephesians 4, 22 through 27. It says, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. So we see here that we cannot give place to the devil. We cannot take one bite of what he is trying to offer us. And every day he is trying to just sneak in a little taste. Because what he is serving is meant to deceive us, as we just read. So just like all the unhealthy choices we can make at the grocery store that seem to pry at our attention the hardest, it's easy to walk by the produce aisle, and then when you get to the chips and cookies aisles, you kind of slow down. But the devil and this world have all kinds of distractions all around us that are trying to pry us away from God and steal away any attention they can from him. So while this world around us just seems to have their eyes fixed on all sorts of stuff, we can't lose our focus on what's important. And it's easy to get distracted if we are not focused on Jesus. Now more than ever is this world trying to find something, anything, that will satisfy their thirst. But nothing this world has to offer will ever satisfy for more than just a moment in time. If we turn to Psalm 63, verse 1. Psalm 63, verse 1 says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. This world has so much to see and so much to do. The devil wants to keep us distracted by everything going on around us, that we would lose our focus on what really matters. But as Psalm 63, verse 1 says, there is no water here. Nothing on this earth is going to quench our thirst. But we will always be left wanting more. And Jesus said in John chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, to the woman at the well, Whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst again. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life. And we know here that this water is the Holy Ghost as it fills each and every one of us, leaving us wanting nothing more if we'll just stir up the gift within us. If we lose our focus and get distracted by what everyone else has around us, we must realize that their end is not like our end. If they value the things of this world, then the things of this world they can have. But if we value the things of God, then we will be satisfied and content in Him. Matthew 6 and 21 says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So again, what are we putting on our plates? What things do we have an appetite for? The things of this world or the things of God? Next, let's turn to Psalms 73. Seems like we've been going here quite a bit lately. Psalm 73, verses 1 through 7. Says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. But there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than their heart could wish. And then verse 16 and 17. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. And then we'll pick up again in verse 19. How are they brought into desolation? As in a moment they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So many people out there, the people that we see on a daily basis, are just like verse 7 says, they have more than their heart could wish. It might seem satisfying now, but it'll leave you thirsty for more in just a little while. It's a thirst for more that can never be quenched. The psalmist, as Pastor mentioned Sunday morning, noticed how everyone around him seemed to have so much, and how everything in their lives seemed to be going so well. But as Pastor also mentioned, we cannot compare ourselves to those who are not in the kingdom of God, those who are not children of God. And we should never compare ourselves one amongst ourselves either, for we are all in different points in our walk with God. In verse 17, the psalmist came to his senses. When he walked into the house of God, he realized that those whose appetites was for the things of this world, that they could have their fill, but in the end, they would be utterly consumed. Verse 22, he realizes how foolish he had been for losing his focus and being envious of those around him. He realized that his heart and his flesh had failed him. Our flesh is always going to fail us. But he knew in the end that God was his portion forever and that there was none else that he desired. So if we lose our focus on what's important, or maybe we've been consuming some things that aren't so healthy for us, then we just simply need to confess those things to God and cut them out of our diet. But I warn you that when you cut those unhealthy things out of your diet, something new is going to want to take its place. I know when I turned off the dial at lunchtime for a half hour, it was quiet in the car. And now what? So I first just thought, okay, I'm going to pick up the Word of God, even if I just read a few verses. So fill that void on your plate with some healthy alternatives. A portion of the Word of God, a side of prayer and worship, they will do some good to get back in shape. If we have some time to fill, instead of picking up the phone or other things that might distract us, pick up the Word or talk to God. He is always waiting to hear from us. After all, Proverbs 15 verse 8 says, "The prayer of the upright is His delight." When we come to God in prayer, He is delighted. I think most of us, or most people would agree that breakfast might be the most important meal of the day. And what we put on our breakfast plate somehow seems to set the order for the rest of the day. Now every day I get up for work early, I pack my lunch, I take my lunchbox and it sits right beside me as I drive to work. And sometimes at 6 in the morning I'm tempted to reach in there, even though I've already had breakfast, and see what kind of snacks I have in there. Sometimes I'm tempted to reach in for those barbecue chips or those Mexican wedding cookies that are coated in powdered sugar. And when I give in to this temptation, it only leaves me wanting more. And now all of a sudden, when I'm at work and I need to go to the work van, maybe an hour later, and grab some tools, I find myself digging in my lunchbox again. Maybe just for one cookie, maybe a few. And if things really get out of hand, I'll take the whole entire bag and put it in my tool pouch. And at this point, there's no turning back. And then eventually, when break time rolls around, and I'm no longer hungry for the good stuff that I packed, the nutritious things, because I've been snacking on all this junk all morning that has had no nutritional value, and more importantly than that, what we eat for breakfast is how we start out each morning, each day. Are we loading our plates with good, healthy choices in the morning? Or are we feasting our eyes on things that have no nutritional value, or worse yet, that might be harming us? When we arise each morning, God wants to be the first thing that is on our minds, the first thing that we consume. Reading Psalm 63, verse 1 again, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is." I know there's a group of guys here that have been gathering early before work for morning prayer, and I'm guessing that they would tell me that when they do this, there seems to be more order in their day and that they don't feel so distracted by all of the worldly things around them. So this world appears to have all the answers. Whatever we need or want, we can get with just a few taps of our fingertips, and it shows up on our doorstep the next morning. But in the end, God is the only one that can satisfy. Our satisfaction or contentment in Him will never run out. Unlike the things this world has to offer, and just like those good old-fashioned home-cooked meals that take time to prepare, when we plan ahead and prepare a time for God in the morning, it's amazing how everything seems to fall in place. When we make God our first priority of the day, we somehow feel full, wanting nothing else around. It's easy to make good choices. It's easy to pick up the Word of God for a quick snack. and put down the cell phone, or whatever, down the cell phone, or whatever might distract us. I think it's safe to say that most of us adults here have a cell phone here tonight. And a lot of those phones, if you're like me, they get plugged into the side of your bed on your nightstand, and if you make it the very first thing that we pick up in the morning. And now, like me, I turn off my alarm. I work outside. Today is going to be like, do I need a raincoat? Do I need, whatever it might be. So when I check the weather, all of a sudden, raincoat. Do I need, whatever it might be. So when I check the weather, all of a sudden, all these ads pop up. And somehow these ads seem to know. Ads come up for golf or whatever else, might pique my interest. And before you know it, 30 minutes. And before you know it, 30 minutes could go by. All of a sudden, I realize what time it is. And now I got to run out the door and get to work. And I've left no time in devotion with God. So from the moment we arise, the devil would have us to be distracted by all these things that are just simply meaningless and offer no value. And if we're not careful, as we consume these things that have no nutritional value, we will begin to lose our appetite for the healthy things that will cause us to grow spiritually and become strong in our walk with God. So just like a person who enjoys a lot of butter, like myself, it seems harmless at first, but its effects are slow, and one day the doctor says, oh, by the way, you have high cholesterol. We may not recognize the change taking place inside because it happens so slowly, and there doesn't seem to be any immediate need to stop consuming these things. And so it can be with all the different media outlets and distractions this world has to offer us. They seem harmless at first, but if left unchecked, they can begin to affect us. From our personality, our character, our perspective on things, or our overall spiritual health. If the musicians would please come. So if we're feeling a little sick or tired, maybe it's time to take a closer look at those labels and see what we've been consuming. To see if those things have been for our benefit, or have they been, in fact, harming us? If you would stand, please. In Psalms 119, 103 says, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And Psalms 34, verse 8, again says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. So like I said before, I don't believe we have any problems here tonight. Sometimes it's just good to hear a refresher that we can catch certain things before they become small problems or, worse yet, big problems. But I truly believe that as we go to this park this Saturday, as we've been praying for people outside this church with purpose, that God has a greater purpose for us. He wants to reach outside these walls. So I think he's just trying to get our attention and tune into him. And just get rid of every distraction. I wasn't planning on reading this, but I'm going to turn to Isaiah 45. In verse 1, it says, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holden, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that the Lord, which called thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. For Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have called thee by thy name. I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So I just believe as we go to the park on Saturdays, we kind of stretch ourselves a little more. I believe that in that darkness that's out there, that God wants to give us some new treasure that we're going to find in these very dark places and these hidden riches. So as we open this altar tonight, let's just examine ourselves to see what we've been allowing into these temples of God, that we would take a closer look at what we've been putting on our plates. Thank you, church. The altar is open.